because I have said this from about the age of 10 that this is what I would do as my specialist subject, and it would be Narnia. Always owned thousands of lip glosses, and I've always been really into sort of eye makeup, eyeshadow, mascara, eyeliner.
Hi, I'm Erin Velak, and I've made it my mission to interview the members of the University of Nottingham's student radio station, URN. Join me to uncover how our members got into student radio, what they're listening to in their free time, and their most iconic pieces of clothing that might make you recognise them as you're walking around campus. I want to know who they are when the mics aren't live, so let's find out. This is Off Air with URN.
Today's guest is the wonderful Emily Oxbury.
Hello.
Who is our deputy head of station, previous head of station, previous head of news. So you've done it all.
I have,
a lot of being in charge.
A lot of being in charge.
Is that something you always wanted? You wanted to be in charge, or just you're like, this is a bit of fun, I'll be in charge?
I don't know. I think so. The year I was head of station, no one else actually ran. So like I didn't have a deputy. Yeah. So when I took the step up from news editor, it was kind of like a who's going to take charge of URN? Yeah. We'd had the like big COVID year, obviously in like my second year. And I just thought, I can't bear to see URN like, you know, crumble down of thing. I really want to like bring it back up from COVID. Like it's been such a big part of my university career. So even though I think I always kind of wanted head of station, I maybe didn't expect to do it in my third year because I'd always kind of planned to do a master's. So definitely love being deputy this year is, yeah.
It's a bit fun. You've done it.
But yeah, it's really good fun. So
I will say in my head, it made the most sense that you became head of station that year because you were one of the first people I met at radio. And I think I've told you this before, that when I came in for my little interview, not interview, station tour.
Training and everything.
Yes.
And yeah.
And Flora was doing it. I never actually met Catherine in person, but I met Flora a couple times because she just happened to be the one that was always there when I was doing training.
And because it was COVID, we could have like two of us from committee at any one time. And
it was you and Flora. And I think actually you were just kind of in here anyway, just mulling
like
about
me.
Doing things. Exactly. And I remember you saying that you wanted to do daytime in your first year, but you were too scared, so you started with news.
Yeah.
And I did exactly the same thing. I wanted to do daytime and I was too scared. And you saying that instead, actually, you just did news. I remember it was like a couple of days later. I was like, I could just stick to something I would be comfortable doing. Oh. I don't want to do the demo. I'd rather do it with like a big group of people. And so I started with the news. I did the Pulse for my first
year. We love the Pulse.
And I did the Eco Frenzy as well.
Yeah.
But I was like, I can do this. And I will like get through
smash it.
And then it was a nice bit of, it was very reassuring. So.
Oh, I'm pleased. You're pleased to have been there at the first step.
It's hilarious. It's kind of funny that you're such a big part of like my URN experience, but you wouldn't necessarily have remembered or known that because you probably have no idea.
It's so funny because you see like, I don't know, there was maybe 200 people doing those studio tours, but you do occasionally like remember people or you get stories like that and you think, oh my God, yeah, that was me. Like, and I think I remember going to the freshers store when I was in first year, but I couldn't tell you who I spoke to. And it really frustrates me that I just can't quite remember. Like,
because you want to know.
I want to know who it was. Like my friend, my friend Holly, I mean, you know Holly, obviously, Erin, but Holly, she said like, oh, I knew it was Sarah that I spoke to. And she remembers that it was our first year head of daytime that she spoke to. But I just can't remember. And it's really frustrating. So it's really nice to hear like those kind of stories. And
well,
it passes down as well, doesn't it?
Does,
like that'll be you to someone else.
And it's like fun hearing everyone else's stories of just like who they met and how they got into radio.
Well, I remember like me and Holly, I've probably told you this story as well, but me and Holly sat next to each other at the freshers meeting.
Which is so
and
cute.
Then 2 years down the line, we're housemates.
Yeah.
And like, I think Holly and I were chatting and there was another girl called Annie and we were all at the freshers meeting together. And then Holly and Annie used to do the Pulse together. And about a month and a half in, they said to each other, they were like, did you ever see that Emily again? Like, did she join radio? And because I hadn't been on their Pulse day and I hadn't got majorly involved at that point, they just presumed I'd kind of dropped off.
Yeah, just
from
not,
doing
not
it.
Really got involved.
Yeah,
in it.
And then by sort of January, I actually really felt a lot more comfortable to come into the station, like during my lunch breaks, like in between lectures and stuff. And then kind of properly started my friendship with Holly. And she was like, oh, you are still here. So
you do exist.
It's, yeah.
It's nice they remembered you enough to be like, is she still here?
Clearly, I had like a lasting impact at the meeting.
You,
so
did you, it's kind of how you got into radio. Did you come to university with a thought? Did you just randomly find the URN stand and go, that's for me? Or what was your general thought?
So when I was a lot younger, so from about the age of 13, I wrote for our like local newspaper. So we have our newspaper, the Eastern Daily Press, and they had a section in it called Future Voices. And at 13, my dad like spotted it in the paper and was like, you should apply for this. Like, and what it was every 6 months, they got like a new board of, I think, 6 to 7 young people who wrote articles, and they'd get published in like a 4-page kind of spread in the newspaper. And at that age, I mean, it's a big newspaper, don't get me wrong, but it's still local. So it's not sort of the Times or the Guardian or anything like that, but it felt a big deal to me.
Local
so
celebrities. I applied.
Yeah, exactly. Like, get your photo accompanying your like piece of work. And so I applied for that and got it. And then because I like joined halfway through a board, I basically got to stay on for the next one as well. So I was on it for about like 18 months or something in the end. Like I hacked the system a bit and ended up being on it for a lot longer.
Stay.
They just couldn't get rid of me. And so when I came to uni, I kind of thought Impact would be for me. And I was like, I really enjoy print journalism. I'll do like written stuff. And I went to the Impact stall. I've still got their like freshers version of when I was looking around at David Ross. And next to it was URN, because obviously they put all the media groups together. And this is why it annoys me as to why I can't remember who I spoke to. But somebody nabbed me and was like, they sort of came over to me because Impact was very busy. And they're like, have you considered radio? And I was like, no, not really. Like, and so I took one of their brochures, pinned it up on my like hall's pin board and thought nothing else of it. And it just so happened that the day of the freshers meeting, I just looked at the leaflet and saw that the date was that day.
And you went, why not?
I was like, oh, why not? I'll go to it. And everyone on committee seemed so lovely. Like, it seemed such a fun idea. I did like the sort of office tours and like studio tours and stuff, and just loved it. So yeah.
And that's I guess, was that with the new studio that year?
No. The year before the new studio. Yeah. So when I looked around, I looked around the studio, I looked at kind of 3 laptops set up, very like old, thick, you know, buzzing laptops because they're just overheating, with like 4 microphones just plugged in and sort of 1 like switchboard of buttons. And it very much was like you couldn't kind of choose and download your own music. Like, you just had the playlist in front of you that you just had to work through. And then you just slid your mics up and down. Like, there was no kind of beds, funky idents. Like, it was very basic. But even so, that kind of That's really so excited me. Like,
yeah, and I guess also if you haven't been used to it at all, especially not talking into microphones, any sort of microphone, you go, yep. That looks like fun.
And I knew the TV wasn't for me just because I didn't want to see myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate listening to my voice and editing my voice as is, but, you know, coupled with the sight of me at the same time just wouldn't
be too much.
Yeah, it would be a bit too much. But
that's funny.
It's quite ironic though, because my dad works in radio. And so when I was like really, really little, I used to record the adverts for them. This is like a fun little fact. I used to record for Heart if they needed like child actors, basically. Me and one of my dad's colleagues' son would like record the adverts for them for like Easter competitions. So yeah, it was really cute. And I've got like a CD somewhere with them all on. But that was when I was like 5, 6. So I had been behind a microphone when I was very little, but then kind of not considered it at all. And writing was much more my style.
Yeah.
And then flipped back.
And now you're
like, now at uni, yeah.
Now you like to talk again.
Yeah. Found my voice again.
As it should be. Radio is more important than print. Listen, why read it when you can hear it?
That's exactly. Yeah. I love a good podcast. Like, I think I'm so into music. I'm so into podcasts. Like, I'm constantly with my headphones in, like on the bus, on walks, like it's...
Do you have a certain time of day where it's a podcast time of day or a music time of day, or is it more a however you're feeling? Because I know walking to campus, I do podcasts kind of half the way.
Yep.
And if the podcast has got me, if I'm really into it, I'll listen to it the whole way. But otherwise, when I get to a certain point, I put some music on to kind of, I don't know, hype me up.
Yeah.
Also, when the walk starts getting tough, I need to feel like I'm doing, you know, exercise from going up any sort of hill. I'm like, I want music on. But depending on where I'm going, I very much have a sort of
I'm the same.
Yeah.
Like, I think if I'm heading home, you know, from uni, I'm walking back and I know that I've got to work on a big project when I get home. It depends how I'm feeling about said project. If I'm a bit down about it, I might put on some like clubbing music to think, oh, this time tomorrow you'll be heading to Ocean or something.
Yeah.
But if like I'm quite chill about it, but I'm quite looking forward to doing the work, I might put on either more relaxed music or a podcast or sort of an audiobook or something. Yeah. But I would say probably 80% of the time I'm more so like a music kind of gal.
That's your go-to.
Just for a hype up, yeah. The other day I walked down into my kitchen and my housemate was like, you're really like hyper, what's going on? I was like, oh, I've just been listening to my clubbing playlist for an hour. It was like 10 in the morning, but...
Well, that's what you have to do. That is what Joe and I are now, 9 to 11 a.m. And we're calling ourselves a breakfast show. And that much is what we're going for. So we have started with all the very loud kind of
breakfast wake
get you going music.
Yeah.
And I'm really wary of playing anything a little bit slow, because I'm like, everyone in the Portland building, anyone who's listening in that has just woken up and put it on, like lying
anyone
in bed
who's
still,
heading in for the 9 a.m.
they're not going to appreciate it. No, they want to feel like they're about to go clubbing.
Yeah.
The Ocean playlist is, I would say, very daytime as it is.
Oh, 100%.
And as it should
be. A High School Musical. Can't go wrong. It's
should do. I'm gonna tell Joe we need a High School Musical. Just an hour
Just an hour of it. Just you could probably get through all three seasons, like all three film tracks, soundtracks in
an
hour.
Good. Sounds perfect to me. And if not,
I was gonna say I tune in like
two,
I don't anyway, but I would definitely tune in.
Yeah. Everyone should. We'll do. I'm just coming up with ideas now. Anyway, but speaking of daytime, you are a daytime host. Do you think that's what you most identify with? Because we did mention you did do and have done the Pulse and news, big part of news.
Yeah, I mean, so I study history and politics, which obviously is a very like news-based degree, particularly when I did politics as my undergrad. Like, you have to be on top of current affairs all the time.
Yes.
So I think because of that, I started with the Pulse because it very much felt like it would kind of help me in my degree as well. And like, I really enjoy doing interviews
also,
and things.
It's kind of what you're used to if you're used to doing print journalism as well. That's often
completely.
Very news-based.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas obviously daytime, it's a bit more creative, like kind of more freedom of like the features that you do and the things that you do. So I think, yeah, I mean, I still love doing newsy bits and like interviews. And I think particularly this year with sort of COVID being gone and Ben being very proactive, like we've got to cover so many like cool things and sort of go out on like the picket lines and, you know, go into the city and vox pop people and that kind of stuff. So I do really like that element. But then I think for me, yeah, music is a big part, but I always say I'm such like a basic teenage girl in my music choices.
I am the same. Like I'm whenever anyone says who's your favorite artist, I go,
and I'm like, can I say Shawn Mendes? Like, is that appropriate?
Recently, I mean, it is true. Maisie Peters is my favorite. Yep. And I feel like she's maybe just cool enough in my mind. Maybe I just idolize her so much. I think she's so great.
Yeah.
That I'm like, she's so cool.
You also get into an echo chamber if you follow all the similar type of people on Twitter and Instagram. Like, you almost think that everyone around you is also sort of on the same train, like hype trains or such.
Says, who's Maisie Peters? I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean? She is.
Let me educate you.
I know. But I do appreciate that. I feel like you and I have very similar music tastes.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
Every time I see you go to a concert, I'm like, oh, I wish I'd gone. Oh, I didn't know.
I start messaging you more, me like, hello.
Erin, this person's coming. What's been the best concert you've been to recently or in your life?
Because
you've been to quite a few. So I don't want to say the best person ever. That's quite a big one. But
oh, that's so tough. Okay, so recently, I mean, so we were just discussing this before we started recording. I did go see New Rules twice. So I went to go see them in Manchester and I went to go see them in Birmingham like the day after. And I've never actually done that for a show. Like, I don't think I've ever, like, I mean, I appreciate I didn't follow the tour, but like, I don't think I've ever been to two shows of the same tour. So I was a bit kind of skeptical about whether it'd be as good the second night. And for anyone who doesn't know who they are, which is probably a lot of people, they've only got about 110,000 like followers, which isn't tiny, but you know, they're not sort of mainstream.
They're niche.
They're niche. Yeah. They've just had their first play on Radio 1. Aww. So, which we, I went to one of the gigs with Jenny, my co-host, and we were shouting at them. We were like, we played you first. You've been played on URM for the last like 8 months. Like, but no, they were really fantastic. So it's three of them, just them and their guitars. And honestly, like, they sounded like they do on sort of the recorded tracks. Mm. And I think to be able to play to a room of about 600, you know, and really kind of captivate the audience when it's just like you guys, like they don't have backing dancers, they don't have backing
it's
like
tricky.
Drummers or anything. I was really like happy. And, you know, just before they came on stage, I was like, I feel sick. Like, what if they're not good? And they were so good. So they were like of recent. And of all time, oh my goodness, I think, I've got like three, to be honest.
That
so I
works.
Saw Shawn Mendes at the O2. He was incredible. Went with my mum and dad, and even they were blown away. They were like, again, how one boy with his guitar can captivate the O2.
I love
it. It's incredible.
When you take parents or a friend that didn't really want to go or something, and they actually really enjoyed it.
100%.
My dad came with me to the 1975, not recently, a few years ago. And he was like, actually, that was really fun. I want to buy their merch. So now my dad, my sister and I, the three of us went and we've all got a different 1975
shirt. Yeah. That's so cute. I could never get my parents to do that. I will one day I'll try and get my mum to wear a like tour t-shirt.
I don't think he's ever worn it. It's a bed shirt, I think.
Yeah.
But
why is that a thing? Tour t-shirts are such a go-to like pyjama top, aren't they?
They're soft.
They're just so nice. Yeah.
And then they get...
And you might not wear your One Direction top out, but like you still want to keep it. It's still memorable, you know?
I must say, the saddest thing of my life, I saw One Direction on tour at...
I'm so jealous.
Wembley.
I never got to see them.
I saw them twice. Because my best friend at the time was a massive, massive fan. So her mum took us, and then my mum took us on the next tour. So I saw them their last two tours, one with Zayn, one without, crying. But yeah, no, so I saw them. It was like a June. It was 2013. Anyway, I got a t-shirt while I was there. And I think that t-shirt still would fit me now. However, and this is where the sad part comes in. I think there was a time in my life where I wasn't listening to much One Direction and I was like, I'm growing up, I'm 15,
you didn't have a rebellious teenage...
I didn't go too far.
Not too...
I then had a McFly phase around that time.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I know. I've always had very
boy bands through and through. Yeah.
But that's when I started listening to the 1975 because I was really cool. Yeah. That kind of, I think I'm cool, but also I still have the most mainstream.
It's still mainstream, but
and I think I must have got rid of it and I don't have it.
No.
And then a few years later, I was like, you know, get back into my One Direction. Yeah. You know,
and it would be vintage at this point, you know? Like,
and I'm like, I don't own this anymore. Genuinely, it haunts me. It haunts me. And I've got all the posters I used to have and everything like that. I used to have I still do, actually. I've got a poster I had. And it used to be on my wall when I was younger. And now it's in my wardrobe.
I'm exactly the same.
Because I refuse to take it down.
I'm exactly the same.
But I don't also want them staring at me because it feels a bit weird.
Yeah. It's also... The vibe of like a concert poster up in your room is very like early teens. I feel, or not even early teens, but like mid teens. And now I like sort
now
of
I'm like I'm
maps
an adult.
And like cool prints, you know. Yeah. But I used to have a Union J poster up in my room. I used to be a Union J fangirl through and through. Got to meet them. It was my Christmas present. Okay, this is where having a dad that works in radio really came in clutch.
I'm jealous.
So my dad managed to get Union J to record on an iPod shuffle, this shows how long ago it was, a message saying, hey, Emily, we wish you a really happy Christmas and we'd love to invite you to our show and meet you. And that was how I found out I had tickets. Like, it was so good.
That's amazing.
Whilst, you know, looking back, you asked me what were the best concerts I've seen. Admittedly, they probably weren't the best concerts I've seen. But as an experience, and at the time, 12, 13-year-old me
was
buzzing. Like, it was so good.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love
it was
that.
Just,
I will say, Union J and that kind of era of music did inspire one of my questions that I am asking every guest.
Yeah.
And it's a question I've asked you. What would be your mastermind specialist subject or any other TV shows are available? you know, any sort of like where you have to have a specialist subject that you know a lot of trivia on? Because mine is X Factor.
That's a really good one. That's quite broad, though. I feel like do you reckon you could even do recent seasons and things?
If you weren't giving me time to research it a little bit, because I like to think, you know you're going on the show, you've got a week to brush up.
Yeah, you can gen up.
But if you want me to not brush up, 2010, One Direction's year, I
obviously
know a couple of things. and actually the celebrity season, because that was the most recent one in 2016. I remember quite a lot of it.
Yep.
I couldn't remember everyone who was on it. I think,
if you had a bit of time to revise.
Exactly.
Like,
if I had time to revise, I would definitely go sort of 2009 maybe, but definitely 2010 until 2013 before it sort of died off a little
bit. A slow and painful death.
Yes. Anyway, what would be yours?
So you did ask me this yesterday to have a ponder, but actually the minute you sent it, I knew, because I have said this from about the age of 10 that this is what I would do as my special subject. And it would be Narnia. But in particular, it would be the film of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that film was, again, like from about the age of... When did it even come out? I think it came out in 2005. So I was only 4. But from when I started to watch it, when I was about 7, till like nowadays, I've watched it every Christmas without fail. And probably an average of 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly absolutely love it. Used to have a massive crush on Edmund.
Fair.
Huge crush. Don't know why everyone else seemed to have a crush on Peter or Prince Caspian. I was an Edmund girly, like the bad boys.
Edmund's the one who has the Turkish delight.
He is, yeah.
He is the bad boy.
He is the bad boy, yeah. He was probably about 14 in it, so it's probably weird to say that I have a crush on him. Well, I don't now, but when I was sort
when
of
it
like
was
eight, you know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maybe not age appropriate, actually. 14 and 8.
I know what you mean. Yeah. When I was younger and could appreciate, when he was an older man in my eyes, whereas now he is a child.
When he was a silver fox too.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I used to absolutely love Narnia. So I think that would be my go-to. But I also read all the books. Like, my mum read the books to me when I was very little. And then, I say very little, like 5 or 6. And then I read them all again when I was about 10.
We went through a phase of reading the books with my mum and my sisters, and it was just so nice.
I think for me, Narnia was my Harry Potter. Like, I never properly got in on the Harry Potter hype. I don't even think I've read all the Harry Potter books. It's terrible.
I think I find that if people had something else that age, it wasn't, then they didn't get into Harry Potter. But I think everyone else, Harry Potter was so easily
accessible. It was the go-to, wasn't it?
And parents wanted to watch it, and every school was like, going read all the Harry Potter books that were so easily and readily available that it was just 100% easy to get into.
And I think that was the one that took off, so like the film franchise really worked. So I think things like Narnia, Percy Jackson, even like Twilight were sort of coming out at a similar time. And they tried to do the whole like split the final film, and I just don't think it ever worked as
Not
well
quite.
As it did with Harry Potter, and like the Deathly Hallows being in the two parts, and like it's
Yeah, it's surprising, actually, and quite impressive that they got through all 7 or 8 Harry Potter films, because most of these other series tend to give up. I mean, Twilight did the full thing, but
I think Twilight's maybe slightly easier because they're slightly older actors as well, whereas obviously when you're working with, like, child actors, I mean, the Harry Potter cast, like, they basically did their entire education they grew up on set. It's insane, really.
It is crazy.
Emma Watson is one of my, like,
icons.
Idols, yeah.
Yes.
I just think she's incredible. The fact that she like still got her degree. She just seems to have stayed really grounded.
She does, you know? And she seems like she went, okay, this was a fun thing to do as a child. It's not the rest of my life, and I'd rather like do other things. And I think the others kind of got there eventually, but she was very much always on the girl power route, and I 100%. Loved it for her so much. And it also, weirdly, I was like, it fits in with your character.
It does.
She was
Hermione.
And I think that's why, I guess, the casting was so well. And I guess when also they're kid actors, you want someone who's got that sort of character trait.
Yeah.
Are there any book characters or film characters that you think you could have played because you're like, they are that is me?
Ooh, that's a really good one. Good
that
question.
Would just be in the same way like it's, Emma Watson could play Hermione.
Yeah, who played Hermione. Try and think of like films. I mean, if we're going to take something like Narnia, I think I would be more the Lucy than I would be the Susan. Okay. I would be the annoying, like, little...
And I'm
like,
the,
little sister.
I'm the bossy older sister.
Yeah. See, I don't have siblings, so I don't know which I'd be, but I think... But I'm trying to think, like, if there's one character that, like, really speaks to me.
It's okay if there isn't.
I'm not sure there is. I think the thing is, I always used to say I wanted to be an actress, and then I realise I'm rubbish at drama, and I'm actually really self-conscious when I'm, like, performing and acting and that kind of thing.
But you like the idea of it.
But I like the idea, yeah. I don't know. I can see, I've forgotten her name, but it's not, well, it is a film, but I've seen the stage show. Heathers. Mm-hmm. The girl that gets bullied in Heathers, but not the one that, like, joins the Heathers.
I haven't seen
it. I can't think what she's called.
As a musical theatre fan,
I see myself
person.
In her.
Yes.
In the, like, she tries to be friends with everyone, and, like, she kind of doesn't see the bad side in anyone.
Yeah.
And I think that's very me. Like, that's quite my kind of personality, and, like, just trying to be happy and friendly with everyone and, like, you know, blow away the drama and that kind
exactly.
of thing. Like, but I can't think of what her name is at all. But film-wise, no, I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
I'll have to text you. You'll have to do a
important.
Little, like, edit into
yes.
the podcast and be like, well,
be like, edit. I've decided. Emily's texting me 3 days later.
Yeah.
She has watched films to research this point.
72 hours straight, just film watching is.
As it should be. You mentioned Heathers. You've gone to see Heathers.
I have, yes.
I do want to see it. It's one of those ones where it's, I don't want to listen to the music too much and spoil the plot. I want to go see it, but I just haven't.
That's a really good point, actually, because I've been to a few musical theatre shows, half of which I've probably known the soundtrack, like, inside out. So Dear Evan Hansen, I went absolutely loving the soundtrack, was like singing along in my seat kind of vibes. And then Heathers, I knew nothing about, didn't know the plot line, didn't know the music, and I enjoyed them both as much, but they're such different, like, viewing experiences.
Yeah. I think I haven't seen many musicals live, because living in Luxembourg you don't get many.
Yeah.
But I remember we did go see Cabaret There was one Christmas it was on and I was like, this is exciting. And I knew nothing about it and it was really, really enjoyable. And then for my birthday, we went to my 18th birthday, we went to London and I saw Be More Chill because it was my favourite musical at the time. And I knew every word, you know, and it was really exciting. But I do like going into things not knowing.
Completely.
But also then it's like, oh, if I don't know, do I know if I'm going to like it? Does it feel like a waste of money?
I know we were discussing this with Hamilton because obviously that's really like blown up at the moment. And friend I was discussing it with, she said that she'd been for one of her birthdays and her like mum, dad and brother went and half of them came out absolutely having loved it and half were like, that really wasn't for me because apparently it's very like rap music. It's almost like rapping like music.
It is completely.
And she said that there's no speaking in between. So she said that she thinks her dad like zoned out and because he zoned out, he wasn't actually following the plot line. Whereas a lot of musicals, the music bizarrely is almost supplementary to the kind of drama and storyline of it. So,
and it kind of, I feel like it works. I completely understand with Hamilton. Actually, it's worth giving it a listen or reading the plot, the vague plot.
Having a bit
to understand what's going on. Maybe not reading the whole thing, but reading the first act or something like that. Yeah, some musicals, the songs are just there for a song.
Yeah.
There's one I watched on TV, which I cannot remember, but it was a recording of, and it was just like, please stop singing. This song has gone on for 4 minutes and you're not adding to the plot anymore.
That sounds very like my mum's opinion of musicals.
I just couldn't.
She's like, why are you singing telling me that you're making toast? Just make the toast, you know?
Yeah, and I'm someone who absolutely loves them.
Yeah.
And wishes I could go see more, but... But yeah, alas.
You are on trip.
I am going to see Newsies for my birthday this year.
Ooh, is that coming to Notts or is that in London?
No, it's in London.
It's in London.
It's Wembley Park Theatre. So it's in Wembley. It's not in
the West End. That's interesting, not like in Shaftesbury, yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen a musical in the West End because Be More Chill is technically not in the West End because it's the other side. It's like by Buckingham Palace.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's where Heather's is as well.
The Other Palace.
The Other Palace.
Yeah.
Oh,
That's where Heather's was. I think Heather's came in after it, actually.
I knew I recognised the name of it. Yeah. That'll be why, yeah.
So it's technically not in the West End and I'm like, I need to do a West End
Got
musical.
To do one, yeah.
I need to. One time
All the like sparkling lights is just great if you go to an evening performance as well.
And I just like walking through it. Yeah. Every time I go to London, I walk down there.
100%.
You have to. It's very important. I will stop the musical. I know.
I could continue to talk for hours.
I feel like both of us are like, I love this thing.
Yeah.
But let's talk about you.
Oh, happy to do so.
Let's know more about you. You are currently doing a master's.
I am.
Scary, but fun.
Yes.
And you said earlier a little bit that you had always sort of planned to do a master's. Was that because of the subject matter? Was that just you want to be at uni longer?
Well, yeah, I think it was always that 3 years at uni never quite felt long enough. Mm. And then throw in the fact that the second half of my first year and the entirety of my second year was basically online teaching because of COVID. It was kind of then a given that I needed this extra year to make up being a university student.
And
yeah, there was too many like balls and formals and social events and societies and more studying that I like still wanted to do. I think I always came to university with like a 50%. No, I think I always said it was like 60% academia, 40% social as to why I was here. And I'd stand by that with going into my master's. I think I really enjoyed my undergrad dissertation. And like there's topics that we get to do at master's that you kind of don't get to study at undergrad. Obviously doing history, like it's such a, there's so much history, like you could study history for the rest of your life. So it wasn't a panic master's that a lot of people kind of use the phrase of, in that they decided in third year to do it. I'd always kind of decided from first year.
Mm.
But yeah, COVID really like solidified
it. Really kind of pushed
it
that you were going, 100%, that I needed this. That's nice then that you've kind of gone, it's not a panic thing, it's a genuine enjoy thing. And actually genuinely enjoying the academic side of things. Because as much as I love economics... and stuff like that. It's like the academics, my brain's gone. Sometimes I'm kind of like, I need to be out of school.
I think
school.
That's often the thing with more so like STEM subjects as well, is you very much are learning like set things that you must all know to then apply into jobs that you may go into. Whereas I think sometimes with humanities, they're a lot more like fluid and you're kind of choosing things because you're enjoying that subject matter.
Yes.
But then it's the skills that you get in doing source analysis, presentations, that's what you end up taking into the workplace.
Yes.
So you can get away with doing like the more fun things,
if
that makes
sense.
I would
say we don't have a lot of choice on topics.
Exactly.
And like when we're doing it, because mine's pretty much all 100% exam based, I'm answering exam questions. So there is a set list of things. I think if it was coursework, it'd be a lot more pick your topic, tell us what you want to do about it.
Choice of question. And,
it's not. sadly, for better or worse. It means I don't have to stress about coursework deadlines too much, but that's I get like a week of stress.
You get very in intense.
January and June.
Yeah. By which point I'm chilling and don't care.
Yeah. And you get like your months off at the end and, and everyone else is going, oh, I hate everyone doing a Bachelor of Arts.
Yeah.
why are they
at the lake like chilling or at colic and
just jealous. So what would you say has been your favorite module you've ever done, or even piece of work
It would be a piece of work that I did in my second year. It was the best ever grade I got. I got an 80, just gonna flex because I've never got anywhere near that again. But it was for a module called Poverty, Disease and Disability in Early Modern Britain. Probably very boring to anyone that doesn't enjoy history. But there were two things that made it really interesting. The first was that I was studying it in my second year, so the peak of COVID, and we were looking at things like the cholera riots, which came as a result of like imposed vaccinations and like people being told to quarantine and all those kind of things.
Felt like history was repeating itself.
It really did. Like, it was so interesting to compare, and our tutor actually brought in like the final week we did a big comparison to COVID and stuff, which was really interesting. Yeah. And then one of the assessment types, which is why I really like this module, was a creative piece. So it was like a piece of public history, like output. So it was something that basically you could give to the general public to teach them on that topic. And I did a board game. So it was all about like the slums and how doctors would like go into the slums to try and cure diseases. And basically you like, the idea was that you were a slum traveller, which were people that went in kind of undercover to like get information about like the very poorest classes and the ways in which they lived and probably what was, you know, trying to uncover what was causing these diseases. But yeah, I had to make like loads of cards, those little playing pieces. I made like a big sort of A2 like board game, like actual board for the game.
And I'm guessing if it's COVID, you had the time.
And I had the time. It was great. And it was just so relaxing compared to writing an essay.
Yes.
I'd sort of be doing a bit of my essay for my other modules and then think, okay, I'll do a bit of board game now. But that was also counting towards my assessment. So yeah, that was definitely. Shout out to Sarah Holland because she's an amazing tutor. Nice. So
that sounds like so much fun. I remember making a board game in like year 7 or something for, I don't even know what. I couldn't tell you.
Any subject probably in year 7, they'll always go for creative.
It was something social studies. It was something history. I think it was about ancient Mesopotamia.
Oh.
And I think I did it on some sort of their religion system.
Yeah.
Don't know. But anyway, I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. It's a nice way to kind of you have to put the information across, but you also get to have a bit of fun.
Be a bit creative.
And
you do
learn from making board games. I will say
you 100%
it's a lot of effort.
Like I wrote like 10 like sets of cards. Yeah. So I probably wrote about 200 cards that were all based on facts and statistics. And
but because you're enjoying it, it doesn't feel like as much work.
Exactly.
So you do even more work, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm more inclined to keep working on that, whereas writing an essay, I do always reach a point where I'm like, I never want to read this essay again.
It's like an essay to be a lot more stop start. You do as much as you can emotionally handle at a time. I have a couple questions that I ask everyone, as we've mentioned. One of the ones I want to ask you right now is, do you have an iconic item of clothing, an iconic look, something that's always about you, what's recognizable about you visually, so that your fans of A Friend Recommends goes, I've heard her voice. Emily said she always looks like this. I can find her on campus.
Find her.
And go ask for pictures.
So I was, go meet my fan, a little meet and greet. I was thinking about this and I think I always say with like my style, so clothes wise, I wouldn't say I like follow trends. I'd say I very much wear what I like and like not in an edgy way of, oh, I break the trends. Just I'm still wearing skinny jeans when most people like are on the wide leg jeans phase, you know?
I know what you mean.
So my black skinny jeans are definitely a staple. But I'd say the two things that are like my look, which I am sporting today because I'm not wearing skinny jeans at the moment, are both winged eyeliner.
I was going to say,
I pretty much am always wearing winged eyeliner and sort of paired with some form of like eyeshadow.
Yes.
I think I always wear
quite
sparkly
glittery
eyeshadow.
Yeah.
I got a Morphe palette that's like a rainbow one last summer for when I went to music festivals and I love it. Like I do purple quite often for URN, like, and there's like a bright blue and a yellow eyeshadow once. Like I've been really experimental with it since I've got that. So yeah, I'd say the first thing is like my eyeshadow and eyeliner. And the second, which again, sporting, is like funky earrings, bright kind of colourful earrings. The main ones that catch attention are I have some like bright orange tassel ones. And they're about like, well, you can't see because it's a podcast, but about this long. So like sort of above shoulder length.
She showed me a long finger length.
A fair finger length. And they've got like a sort of silver stud. And then, yeah, there's like loads of tassels. And they're really sort of matching. Yeah.
I do say to people, I was like, even if I don't know what your iconic look is, if you tell it to me and I know what you're talking about, then it's iconic.
You know it's,
Then it's definitely something that you wear a lot, because as much as I love seeing everyone every day, I don't remember.
Don't you?
I don't remember what you're wearing unless we've like had a big conversation about it. But yes, I was also going to say for you, if you didn't have one, the winged eyeliner is definitely out there.
Well, if ever I'm not wearing it, I look in the mirror, I'm like, who is this? What's going on?
What is happening? Well, I mean, fair enough. Has makeup then always been a hobby, or is it just the eyeliner?
No, I've always really enjoyed makeup. So I've been quite fortunate, touch wood, that I've had fairly decent skin. So like I never got into sort of properly like skincare, foundation, blusher, sort of all this like base makeup. I never really did that. But I've always owned thousands of lip glosses, and I've always been really into sort of eye makeup, eyeshadow, mascara, eyeliner.
You sound like me. You sound like me. I've never particularly, again, touch wood, struggled with like spots or things like that.
Yeah.
But I have very, very dry skin, so it's a completely different issue.
Yeah.
But it always felt pointless to put foundation on. And I'm quite freckly.
Exactly.
So it's also like, I want my freckles out.
Want your freckles out, yeah. Completely. So I used to watch this YouTuber called Shan XO. She's either New Zealand or Australian beauty YouTuber. And I've watched her since I was about 14. And I just always used to love it. And then from about the age of like 16, mum would buy me like the Benefit makeup sets for Christmas.
Oh, yes.
And then I've slowly grown my collection. Now I have a lot of the like Urban Decay Naked palettes, a lot of Morphe palettes. Like if you need an eyeshadow color, I'm your girl. Like
I've got it.
Yeah. And if I don't, you clearly don't need it, because
clearly it doesn't exist.
No. So yeah, it has always been like a hobby of mine. But yeah, I think it's just in the morning, like I like to put makeup on. I think quite often there's like a thing that goes around, you know, when sometimes people are like, oh, why'd you put makeup on? You're only doing it for boys, aren't you? Kind of thing. And it's like, no.
Or you're doing it because you're insecure.
Exactly. And I would more than happily walk onto campus and see all of my lovely friends wearing no makeup. But I enjoy in the morning having my half hour to like sit down, just do my eyeshadow, play about a bit, you know, compose myself. Like,
That sort of quiet time where you have something to, I guess, focus your energy on with your hands, but your brain can kind of switch off for a minute, especially 100%. In the morning, and you can put some music on, you can get your clubbing playlist out, or put a podcast on, an audiobook, or just have something in the background to keep you, I guess, focused.
I think that's one of the things that I love about like going out. Often it's not even the clubbing or the drinks or whatever, it's the getting ready, it's the picking
so
the new
fun.
Outfit, like I got an ASOS order 3 just before I came onto campus, actually. So
I've
I was like
got a
trying
boots order
all
coming
of
today.
Have you?
Yeah.
There we go.
It's a little birthday present to myself with, myself. It's some money my grandma gave me.
Amazing.
And I thought if I don't spend this now, it's just going to get
wilted
away.
On your rent or bills or
my meal deal addiction. Probably it will be the meal deals I need to stop.
Go to meal deal?
I've been boots.
Yeah,
love
it's
my
gotta
life.
It's got to be with the student discount.
I usually go for one of the wraps. Sometimes I will go for one of the sandwiches, but tends to be one of the wraps, either the no duck hoisin one.
Ooh, I've not tried that one.
Very good. Or the halloumi and Greek satay.
That's what I go for.
That's my favourite one. And then recently I've been into the yogurts with a bit of granola.
The granola on the top,
Mm-hmm. Not the Activia ones. I don't particularly want to say this so that Activia never sponsors me. I don't like Activia. Never have done, never will do. It's the yogurt we've always had at home. I am anti-Activia.
You've got a hatred towards it.
Yes. They've done nothing wrong, but it just is bad. It just reminds me of like, you know, being a kid and going, there's nothing else to eat.
Oh, when you ask for pudding and it's yogurt.
You just want like...
It's not the same.
You know, you're like, all I need is like... a little square of chocolate or like a little bit of something, and then
one custard cream even
like
that would do.
Barley Activia.
Oh no,
you can't see the face I'm making, but it's
it's a face it's of a disgust face.
Yes, completely. I can't remember where I was going with that. I've now got on my Activia run, but yes,
meal
that.
deals.
Meal deal. And because I'm not really a fizzy drink person, I either get their glass bottles, rejuvenating juice things.
Ooh.
They're very nice, and they're supposed to be like natural energy. I don't think they give me energy. They
the
just taste
effect,
nice.
Maybe.
They're just a little bit fizzy because I don't like very fizzy, and it's a little bit flavoured, and it's mostly water. Beautiful. Or I will get a Diet Coke and give it to Dom.
That's always the good thing of a meal deal. There's always one element you can pass on to someone else,
and someone will take. Because also, if I know I'm never going to want the drink,
if it's just going to sit in your rucksack,
buy it and give it to him.
Yeah, sorted.
What about you?
I'm also a Boots girl. I like Boots because you get the Advantage card 10% student discount as well. Can't go wrong.
I'm getting points on getting my points.
I have about £30 worth of points at the moment. Might do a little shopping spree later.
I did save up my points and use it to buy Christmas presents.
That's such a good idea. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do that for this Christmas.
And you still get your 10% off with your student discount. And you still get all the whatever's on deal.
Three for two, mix and match. Yeah.
Please don't listen, sisters. So that's how I support my sister's Christmas
Boots,
present.
We love you. So I'm quite a pasta girly, actually. I really like their like pesto and pineapple pasta
I tried one of them the other day. It was very, very nice. But they usually have run out of it by the time
you get there. Yeah. And then I always go for an innocent juice. Like either an apple mango or an orange. Smooth orange, though, must be, I must say. Don't like bitty orange juice.
I prefer bitter. I don't know. I prefer the bits. I like the texture.
Fair enough. Yeah. And I'm probably the opposite of take them away from me. Yeah. I have to like pass my orange juice through like a sieve if it's got bits in it. I just can't do it. I don't like yogurts with bits in either. No. I like fruit flavoured yogurt, but not if it's got a like weird lumpy bit of strawberry in it. Like
I'd rather just have Greek yogurt, nice and plain and simple.
And put some strawberries in it.
Yes.
That's the thing. I'm happy to put fruit in my yogurt, but I don't like fruity yogurt.
Because it's weird.
I think I'm just weird. Yeah.
No, but the bits are weird. I think I'm with you on that.
They've sort of festered in there for a while,
haven't
they?
I don't like the bitter yogurts.
No.
That's what it is.
Maybe that's the problem with Activia.
That's what Activia are doing well, which is why I don't like them.
Yeah.
So Activia, I have complimented you. Maybe I should bleep their name.
And then for my snack, I always go for the, is it Higgledy or Higgledy?
Yes.
The little mini, like, because I'm a veggie, so the mini, like, veggie sausage rolls that they do.
I love those.
They're like goat cheese and red pepper or something. They're really good. Or caramelised onion.
If I'm treating myself, when I go to Tesco, I'll go on then.
Go on, yeah. They're like £3 for two, but you know, it's a treat.
And I will eat them all in one go.
Oh yeah.
Of course.
100%. They're not there to be like shared or saved.
No, not at all. But no, I do like that brand. Their Higgledy stuff and their pies and everything. As a vegetarian.
They're good.
There's only so many options.
We feel it, yeah.
No. Tesco, I try. Sometimes I just want something new. I think that's the problem with vegetarian food over meat, is meat, it depends how you cook it.
Exactly.
Vegetarian food, it's what you get is what you get, and you can't really cook it differently.
I was complaining about this to my housemates the other day, because one of my housemates, Harry, he's a really big, like, into his cooking, and he was making some, like, chicken stew, and I said, I'm just yet to find a meat alternative for just a chicken breast, because I was like, chicken breast, you can, like, cook in the oven and smother it in, like, butter and, you know, wrap it in bacon and stuff, or you can like put it in a pan with juices and like it'll soak that up. But corn chicken pieces just aren't the same. Like, I'm not gonna stick that in the oven with some veggie bacon on it, am I? Like, so,
and it kind of comes almost prepared for you, so it's a bit
exactly with all the flavorings on it, and you're ultimately taking that and then adding your like veg and mash. Or
have you been vegetarian for a long time, or is it
I've always been veggie, actually. Yeah.
Well, your parents,
so my mum's veggie. Yeah, so my mum raised me veggie, and then when I got to like 12, she was like, look, you're going out, you know, to high school and, you know, getting your own lunches at school and occasionally going out with friends when I was then a little bit older. She's like, it's up to you, you know, if you want to try meat or have meat, you can do. I'm not cooking at home, but if, you know, you want it when I'm out, like, and it's just kind of never appealed, really, because by that point, I don't know what I'm missing, so I don't miss like the flavor or taste of it. And also, like, I'm kind of for vegetarianism from like a animal welfare, environmental perspective, so why kind of change it, you know?
I get that.
I would, like, in theory I'd love to go vegan, but I love cheese way too much.
That's my problem. It is,
and
the
fake cheese just isn't the same, and I do know what I'm missing out on. So
I do feel like being vegetarian, especially a few years ago, it was always everything's got cheese on it or it's got eggs,
everything
vegetarian was cheese or eggs as well with it, because that's then what you're used to. I think it's almost like when you try and giving up meat for meat eaters going vegetarian.
If you eat meat with every meal.
And if you enjoy the meat and you're, you know, then sort of depriving yourself of it, it's a bit trickier.
It's completely. I always say to people, I'm like, don't applaud me for the fact that I've been vegetarian my whole life, because I've known no different. I applaud people who changed at like 16, 18 and, you know, have had so many years of like being a meat eater and then changing it, because they are really giving up something. I've not really given up anything because I never had it.
Yeah.
So,
and I would say I went fully vegetarian when my sister did, because in my mind I was like, oh, now I can actually, because my mum then started cooking vegetarian food for my sister. Yeah. I never thought it was an option, but I'd always The way I like to phrase it is I'd always eaten as little meat as my mum would let me.
Yes.
It was always, I don't like it. I just, the majority of meat I don't like, I don't enjoy, I don't want it.
But it was just being served
to you. It's just all there was. And my mum's like, you need to have protein, eat it. So,
and particularly we've probably in our kind of lifetime seen vegetarian food progress so much. Definitely. With things like corn and meat free and everything else, like.
And I've always had vegetarian aunts, both sides mm-hmm. of family. There's been a vegetarian aunt. So at family meals, family functions sort of thing, there's always a little bit of the option, but they make sure there's enough for my aunt to have vegetarian food, but not necessarily everyone.
Yeah.
So I kind of started, I dabbled, and then
started singing a bit off her plate, and then
yeah. And I'm a very relaxed vegetarian because I is very much, I don't like meat. So it's mm-hmm. when people, as much as I identify to an extent, as I say I'm vegetarian, it's just easy to say it.
Yeah.
My favourite food, sushi, which makes no sense, but I've eaten a lot of sushi in my life. I absolutely love it and I adore it and it's amazing. So I'm going to keep eating it.
100%.
But I think this, not to plug, but we talk about this a lot on Eco Frenzy, actually. The idea of you can do a little bit without having to do all of it.
I think it's like if everybody did like a meat-free Monday, it would be so much better for carbon emissions and the planet and everything.
You
like,
really miss out.
It's, no.
This is the...
No one's asking you to go from eating like meat every day to never eating it again and never having dairy products. But yeah, if you did one day a week where you just cook something veggie.
It's even more like, just try it.
Yeah.
Don't, if you don't like it, you don't like it. Okay. I get that. I'm not going to dictate your diet. Like,
I'm not going to be here with corn nuggets shoving them down your throat.
Do you get a lot when people will not know you're vegetarian or forget you're vegetarian, they offer you meat and you go, oh no, I'm okay, I'm vegetarian. And they go, oh, I'm so sorry. Like they've offended you. Do you get that a lot? Or
on occasion. I think it depends who it is that's offered it. If it's one of my close friends, like I've got a few friends who become very close with, but very quickly. So like one of my housemates, for instance, I didn't know him pre this year.
Yeah.
And when he first moved into our house, he sometimes would like offer me, he'd like cook massive batches of things, which was really lovely, and offer to sort of cook for us all. And I'd have to be like, no, it's all right, like I'll cook my own. And then he'd suddenly clock like maybe a day later and be like, I realise I offered you like my Jamaican goat curry last night, like I'm so sorry, I didn't realise. But you know, I knew he was just being like friendly.
He's
and
just
it
being
wasn't
nice. It's not really an offensive thing.
It's not at all. Like, I'd rather you offer and like be nice and me just have to go, oh no, it's fine, thanks.
I'd rather
like,
you want me to join in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nice. So it's like the sort of thing, it's like when you're invited to a party and both of you know you can't go because both of you know you're it's still nice to be asked.
It's nice to be asked. It's nice to be on that Facebook group, you know.
Exactly.
You're still thinking of me.
Yeah.
So
still be like, sorry guys, can't go, hope you have fun.
Yeah, at least people see me and think, see me on the group and be like, oh, she is pals.
Yeah.
She does have friends.
She's a fun gal. I'm going to go with, again, one of my sort of prepared questions. We've had a lovely chat.
We're very similar. The more we chat, the more I realise how similar we are.
And I feel like this is turning less into an interview, more of a chat. I'm a little bit aware of that. And I'm like, I've got to stick to some questions. So you've been here a few years now. You're in your fourth year. Where is your favourite place to go on campus? Where would you recommend? Ooh. It can be for studying. It can be for hanging out. You can't say that you're in offices because that is obviously the best place.
Yeah. Okay, studying wise, I would say Horwood upstairs. So I am a humanities girly.
Third or fourth floor?
Fourth floor, top floor, humanities floor. Although having done history and politics joint honours, I used to be like in both of them, because social sciences is floor three. But I love just going upstairs, and they've got, if you've not been, they've got like these cubby hole, like sort of rows of cubby hole desks, basically. I love just getting myself set up with the one closest to where the books are. So actually like furthest away from the window, which is a very controversial opinion. And just getting myself like in the zone there. That's so good for like study, like independent studying. If you're writing dissertations, if you've got like final projects, that is where I'd say to go. Because I didn't go until third year upstairs in Horwood. Like I always used to sit downstairs.
No, it was all, I didn't know downstairs was an option for the longest time.
Yeah.
Because COVID and you had to book your
completely,
study slot.
Yeah. So
it was always,
you
it was
headed
always third
to somewhere.
Floor. Third floor was pretty much the only option they gave us. And fourth floor probably, but I never scrolled.
Never went
up
that far yet. So that would be my study spot. Just generally, I mean, the lake is gorgeous. Like you can't beat, like we can just about see it from here. Like going down basically East Drive, cutting past like Lakeside Arts, and then a walk around the lake.
When the sun's just setting.
gorgeous. It's... And you get that view with Trent Building.
Yes.
Two like kind of special memories of the reason why I'd pick the lake would be the last night before we got sent home because of COVID from Halls, me and all my Halls friends did a sunset walk around the lake, and it was the day before my 19th birthday. So I got sent home on my birthday. It was really sad.
That's really sad.
Yeah, I had this massive weekend plan of like ocean. I was going to go to Panthers ice hockey, out for cocktails, and it ended up being a Colin the Caterpillar cake in my garden at home, which I'm not mad about.
Nice
thanks,
with your parents. Yeah.
But yeah, but no, it wasn't not quite the weekend I'd expected. Yeah. But yeah, so we did this walk around there, and it was just, it's just like one of my, well, it's my last memory of first year, I suppose. So that's really special. And then actually this summer, my dad did a 10K around there, and me and my mum watched from like the steps, on the Trent Building side of the lake, and we watched him come running around there, which was really sweet. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's quite a cliche. Like, I think everyone knows about the lake, but...
They do, but not very many people say it's their favourite spot.
Yeah,
very so that's true. A good one.
So it's nice.
Unique. You mentioned the Panthers ice hockey.
Yes.
I did have Dom say, you ask Emily about varsity. How did you find varsity ice hockey last year? Because you were commentating.
I was commentating. I love the varsity ice hockey. So in my first year, we did what was called Battle of Knots, which used to be like a warm-up to varsity ice hockey. Mm-hmm. So it was basically like the third and fourth teams played each other. And they'd use it as like a test run for both media groups and the teams and the venue to like trial it. And we did that. And then again, COVID hit. And we didn't ever get to do varsity ice hockey. So varsity ice hockey last year was my first time doing it. And it was so fun. We have our own box, as you know. And we kind of look, we're like very high up, but looking like right out over onto the rink. I was commentating with Regan and Jake. And Regan, it was quite funny. Regan's very funny to commentate with because at times he'd just like go on a complete like string of talking, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I try and like jump in with little bits and he'd just be on his commentary
bit.
So in a way, yeah, so in a ways it was great because I kind of didn't, at points didn't have to think about what to say, but in other ways I was like, Regan, hello, can I say something, like which is quite funny. But I really enjoy ice hockey. I used to watch ice hockey when I was like 15. I used to go watch the Hull Stingrays with my dad. Okay. If I went to go visit my grandparents, the club's now actually folded. And I just think it's such a cool sport.
It's
like
fun.
No other unis have, well, sorry, I'm not. That's not a fact. I'm sure they do, but hardly any other unis have ice hockey.
Well, like, it has been said that our varsity ice hockey game is the biggest university level ice hockey game outside of North America.
Yes. See, so, that is claimed fame.
It is. It is. I think it's because we're lucky. We have the Motorpoint Arena. We've got two massive universities who are both fairly good at sport, although we are clearly...
Going to win varsity.
Better. Always going to win varsity. But yeah, are you going to the ice hockey this year?
I am, yes.
As
I'm commentating again.
Commentating?
I'm commentating again, yes. Ooh, I'm very excited.
Different person you're with this year? I'm assuming Regan's
left. Yes, Regan has gone. Who am I commentating with? Am I commentating with Jack? I think me and Jack Napton might be commentating. Ooh. And Luke Lovett, I think. Fun. There's three of us, definitely.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
That's
we'll
really
see.
Bad. This Tune will, in to find out.
This will probably
out.
Be after, it goes out after the ice hockey.
Yeah.
Ice hockey is next week.
Next week. Tested that the big microphone kit could fit into my car yesterday. It can, so it's all okay.
It's all good. It's all gonna work.
All's gonna
it's
be
all
fine.
Gonna be smooth. Yep. That's very good. Final two questions.
Yes,
because we are nearing the hour mark. But
I can chat for days. Honestly, you will have to stop me.
I might have to cut some of that out.
Yeah,
it will be me going on some random tangent. As much as people care about, no one cares about. You know. We're here for you. My final two questions, I'll ask them together and then you can answer whichever one you get an think of first.
Yeah.
What is your proudest achievement, which can be a very deep and meaningful thing. It can be a very shallow thing. It can be whatever kind of first comes to mind is what we're going to go off.
Okay.
And also, what are you looking forward to? Again, whatever's the first thing that comes to mind. If it's a year in the future, if it's tomorrow, if it's tonight. Having a nice curry.
I am actually. I defrosted a vegetarian curry for my dinner. How did you know?
I say that every week and no one, normally I go for pizza. I don't know why today I went for
there
curry.
There you go. You chose the right one. Okay, so proudest achievement. Sorry, I'm going to do typical me. I'm going to do two.
Go for it.
If you learn one thing about me, it's that I can never decide on anything. If ever my mum took me shopping and she'd be like, you can have one of these t-shirts. I'd be like, oh, I just don't know though.
You just have neither.
Yeah. She'd be like, okay, I'll put them both back. So the first would be, and this is very cliche, so it's a quick one, would just be getting my degree. Mm. Like I think after, and I've mentioned it time and time again, after COVID, after strikes, you know, having been head of station at radio, having... wobbles every year of, am I going to be able to do this?
Yeah.
Crying over deadlines, you know, which everybody has. I think just my graduation day was such like a, wow, I did it. I've got this piece of paper. I got through that, like,
it's
moment.
It's a special moment.
Which was really special.
Leading up to it, like my sort of year, because we're graduating, are kind of at the stage where it's like, it's graduation. Like, it'll be nice, it's, but don't
I think you and then appreciate when you're it more day, in situ. Yeah. Like, looking back on it, yeah.
And when you're on the, I can imagine, I mean, I know me, I'm going to cry. Just who I am as a person, yeah. I will probably cry at one point. Oh, as I'm standing there.
I think what really got me was, so as people were walking across the stage, they call you up in like groups based on your degree. And they called up history and politics, and quite a few people were like getting whoops and cheers along with the clapping as they went across the stage. And I was like, oh, these are like the really sort of popular beanocky people. Like, no one's going to sort of whoop or cheer me. And people did. And some of my friends who were in the history section heard someone say behind them, oh, I love Emily, she's so lovely. And that just meant like more than the degree did in a way. Yeah. The fact that someone had met me at their time, I still don't know who it was, but someone had met me at their time at university and was liked me. I know that sounds really weird. And then I spoke to my parents afterwards and they were both like, yeah, we gave you like a cheer as well. So, and they're not sort of outwardly loud, boasty people, you know, they'd sit and clap and be very proud.
They don't normally cheer, but
mum was like, it's your graduation, like I had to cheer. And my second one would be from ages and ages ago in 2015. So when I was a young teen, I got a role at what is called the Big Gig, which is run by Girl Guiding. It's a concert just for members of Girl Guiding. And I actually got the role of a backstage reporter. And I basically got to do like interviews. Yeah. I was printed in like a Girl Talk magazine. So I've got a magazine with my face in it, which is really cool. I got to meet like Ella Henderson and Aston Marigold from JLS and Nathan Sykes from The Wanted, which was really cool. And I think, yeah, just to have been one of two people to be picked for that will kind of forever go down as like a, I did it moment.
They
wanted me. Yeah. And then finally for the future, traveling is the big thing that I'm like looking forward to. I'm going to Prague in March.
Lovely.
Just for my birthday with History Society, actually. So I'm very excited for that. And then with any luck at the end of the year / beginning of 2024, I'm going to go to Australia.
Ooh.
So the saving funds of beginning.
Yes.
I'm working like extra shifts where I can and just putting away any like spare money to hopefully get out to Australia one day.
Oh, that'd be so
but
cool.
Again, I know I've harped on about COVID, but like post-COVID, the getting the chance to travel again and particularly getting the chance to sort of do my further afield trips will be amazing. So.
And I feel like, why not? If you can save up the money to do it, go somewhere else. And I think Australia is quite a nice one because it's hot. And they speak English.
English speaking.
So you can stay there for a while and you're not going to feel too, I guess, out of place.
And I think a lot of people want to go when they're young before, like, they start having, like, not serious relationships, but, you know, settling down, thinking of getting married, families, anything like that. Like, you can't sort of pick up and go to Australia with a 1 month old, can you? So,
or if you've got a mortgage to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like
all
a
those boring
adulty
things,
job.
Yeah.
Makes sense, though. Well,
yeah,
that is very exciting. I love the idea of that. Maybe I'll
have to do a year on, like, catch up, and then if I might be in Australia by then.
I would love that. I know, I'm starting to think all of these things where I ask people what they're looking forward to. I'm like, I need to bring
need
this up.
To, yeah.
You know what Jack said yesterday when I was talking to him? He said I should do a special where I ask everyone their mastermind topic questions.
Yes.
And I am so up for that. So we'll
that
see
would
if
be
that
great.
Happens. That might be a bit chaotic to organise, but we'll see. But thank you so much for talking.
Thanks
to
for
me.
Having me.
I don't know if you have anything else you want the people to know.
Big up, Erin. Listen to Eco Frenzy. Listen to the Erin Joe show.
Thanks.
Listen to A Friend Recommends, which is my show.
Yes. And your show will be plugged as much
Thank you.
You'll be on the Instagram.
And go on those walks around campus, honestly. Make the most of this campus. Because I've visited a lot of my friends at other campuses and nowhere has compared to Knotts.
Nowhere. And I have a friend that lives, she goes to Bath Spa, and her campus is basically in a farmer's field. So you'd think that would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, in the hills of Bath. It sounds lovely. Got nothing on us.
Bit muddy. Bit cow pooey.
Not even. Just small and
just,
field.
That's the thing, we've got such a big campus, but so much like greenery and nice buildings.
And it's such a good location.
Yeah.
It's basically, great. Nottingham is the
basically.
Best.
Yeah.
Never going
Never
to leave.
Never leave Uni of
PhD?
Potentially.
Oh, potentially is better than a no. Most people go absolutely not.
Not next year. I think I do need a break. I need a break from academia. I need to earn some money. I need to sort of properly think about where I want to go in life.
Settle down a little.
But yeah. But academia is not a no, you know?
I like that. That's quite nice.
I need to give another massive thank you to Emily for coming on the show today. It was really, really special to have her on, considering how big a part of my journey on radio she's been. If you would like to hear more of her, make sure you are following A Friend Recommends URN on Instagram and keeping a lookout for when she's live on air.
If you've enjoyed listening to my voice, make sure you check out our Instagram, Off Air on URN, to stay up to date with all the episodes coming out soon.